I'm going to be speaking with Stephen Groost. He is from the South African Institute of International Affairs. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, there's a very important report that was put out by the Middle East. The Middle East Africa Research Institute, right? The report is called Ties to Tehran, South Africa's Democracy and Its Relationship with Iran. So we got hold of Stephen and we're asking him to unpack it in terms of key revelations from the report. Good afternoon, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
All right, thank you. Lovely to speak to you as always. A complete privilege. Stephen, what are the key revelations from the report?
Well, a lot of the report is based on stuff that was already in the public domain. But what it does do is it chronicles right from the beginning, from the days of apartheid when Iran was under the Shah, the close relations that these two, that South Africa and Iran had. It looks at the 1979 revolution and what that means, as well as democratic South Africa's ties to Iran, good relations, and so on and so forth. I mean, some things are very revealing. For example, while the Iranian regime was condemning apartheid and siding with the liberation movements, on the sly, it was also conducting oil deals and weapon deals with the apartheid government. So some of its hypocrisy has been shown up there. There's also some very interesting material on MTN, the big telecoms giant,
right,
that owns 49% of Iran Cell, one of the biggest cell phone companies in Iran, and all the problems that that has led to. It's opened us up possibly to secondary sanctions. MTN has been tied up in the courts because a Turkish company said that they had received this tender or this work in an underhanded way, and so they've been tied up in litigation, and they've also been struggled to repatriate profits from Iran. So the report is a very sober look at this complex and long and enduring relationship, and it makes the point that South Africa has these democratic ideals, a democratic constitution, a foreign policy that we say is based on human rights, yet we are dealing with a theocracy that is one of the most oppressive in the world, and we count them among our good friends.
Right. So I thought that it was quite interesting because I have been through the report, and one thing that I found very interesting is that South Africa's longstanding support for Iran contrasts with our democratic values. And I say our democratic values as the populace of South Africa rather than the ANC government of South Africa, which it doesn't.
So I think that's an important distinction to make. And we often, for purposes of shorthand, will use South Africa rather than the South African government. But yes, the report goes into quite a lot of detail on the democratic foundations of South Africa since 1994, the political changes, the constitutional provisions to protect human rights, and one of our strong allies, or one of our strong states that we interact with as the government, is Iran. We know that after October 7th, there were phone calls and visits to Iran by the foreign minister, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, and there is a closeness from the struggle days that has endured, no matter what Iran has actually done.
Stephen, if I'm just a regular South African, right, I'm not bipartisan, I don't care about what's happening in the Middle East, I just want to feed my family, I want to have a job, I want to be able to clothe my kids, educate my children, I want to build a life for my family, why should I care about this?
Well, I think the relationship with Iran is one of the sticking points that the United States has with South Africa. And I don't want to go into that complex relationship, but suffice it to say that relations have deteriorated. And in American, in President Trump's executive order, and also in pending legislation. It singles out South Africa as a friend of some rather oppressive regimes, including Iran, in Iran's name. So what this might do in the coming weeks and months is that trade relations with the US may be very strained. We've got a 30% tariff that's being threatened to implement on South Africa. There's the chance that something called the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which is a piece of American legislation that allows imports from South Africa into the US market more easily. The ordinary South African, if they are associated with an American company, might lose their job as these privileges are revoked or possibly revoked, partly because of the stance that South Africa has taken on the international stage. So I think it does matter. I think it matters who the government is spending its time with and the relations that it has forged, and there can be real material consequences. Now, some people say, well, it's not an either-or, that you can be friends both with Iran and with the US, both with China and with Pakistan, both with Saudi Arabia and Iran. Yes, in an ideal world, but I think we are in a complex world, especially with the new American administration, that is seeing the world in very stark terms, in terms of friends and foes. And so there could be serious economic consequences if South Africa loses preferential entry into the US market. That's just one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking also, the Financial Action Task Force, it's a money laundering intergovernmental organization, right? And South Africa's been grey listed on this.
Yes.
And, you know, people do judge you by the company you keep. What is going to change this?
Indeed.
I mean, does the average South African know enough about this?
No, I don't think so. And I think that's one of the niches that this report can fill, is that it really chronicles from the beginning the way that this relationship has developed. But on the grey listing, it's very serious. As you say, an anti-money laundering measure. And South Africa was found to be non-compliant in many, many of the provisions, and the Treasury and the Department of Trade and Industry have been frantically scrambling to try and get us off this grey list, which will affect creditworthiness and may even lead to sanctions eventually. So the Iran relationship is part of that, and it doesn't bode well for our creditworthiness and our economy going forward.
Yeah. Stephen Grews, do you want to give us a two-minute, just a takeaway, a summary?
So I think this is an important report. It does delve into how the relationship has been built in layer upon layer upon layer. I mean, one of the things that maybe people were hoping was that there would be some documentary proof that Iran was involved in bailing the ANC out before the elections, and that Iranian money or Iranian power is behind South Africa's case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. The report doesn't provide any proof of that. The rumors persist. It does try and show the patterns of the interaction between these two countries. So the smoking gun, I think, that people are still looking for has not been revealed, certainly not in this report. But what it does do is that it says that this is not beyond the realms of possibility. And given the strong Iranian influence, for example, in the BDS movement, the financial support that they have given to anti-Israel groups in South Africa and around the world, the proxies that it supports in the Middle East, including the Houthis, Hezbollah and Hamas, in its so-called axis of resistance, it's a very oppressive and theocratic country, and South Africa must understand. South Africans must understand the price of maintaining a relationship, a warm relationship with a country like this in this very transactional world that Mr. Trump is dominating.
You know, I just thank you for that. Now, when I think about women in Iran who are forced to cover their hair, their heads, right? They get prosecution, they get shot, they get all kinds of things. And I think about South Africa, and maybe it's not outside of the realm of possibility that South Africa becomes a Muslim-dominated country where women are, where our rights are not, or our rights are curtailed. And
I'm not
saying that that would happen, but I do think about that, and that kind of like drives me to try and educate as many South Africans as possible in their rights, because let's face it, no government wants a population that's too educated. And who's going to
That's true, and I think that the gender issues that you've brought up are very, very important. And yes, it's not easy being a woman in Iran. There are a lot of restrictions and strictures put on you. And again, that comes back to the irony of South Africa, where we champion women's rights. We have a high percentage of women in parliament and in leadership. We also are facing terrible gender-based violence in our country. But we stand up for women's rights. And Iran is different.
Yeah. Stephen Cruz, thank you very, very much. It's been lovely speaking to you. And I wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. So we've been talking about, that was Stephen Cruz. Let me just tell you that he's from the South African Institute of International Affairs. And we've been talking about this Meiri, well, it's this report. It's called The Ties to Tehran, South Africa's Democracy and Its Relationship with Iran. You can want to read the report. Go to meari.org, okay, which stands for the Middle East Africa Research Institute. Go and check that out. And I'm going to be summarizing it for you, but I think I need some music first. So we're going to take some music, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to summarize the whole report for you.